Lord, my God, I love you, I bless you, I magnify you, I adore you. God, I ask you just to come into this place, come into my heart, come into this hour of sharing with you, sharing your word, what you have for us to hear, what you have for us to know. And let your word reveal itself to us and through us like never before. Let your Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide within me as I bring forth and share your word. God, let them see me, see you and hear you, not me, God, please. I want you to get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, God. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Good morning. God bless you, City Reach Church, Burlington, and the world. Thank you so much for joining with us again as we venture on and do what God has called us to do. As I share the word with you, share the word that we started last week called Marked, and how you are marked by God with his Holy Spirit to do great things, to do miraculous things, to do blessed things. You are marked with his Holy Spirit to bring forth his gift, that God has gifted you with wisdom, with knowledge, with speaking in tongues and other various gifts that we talked about last week, to do for the edifying of the body, for us to grow together. And so we're going to continue on with that, how you are marked. We talked about David last week and how he was marked by God to be anointed to be king over Israel. God had rejected Saul at the time. Saul was still in position, but he had lost his God's favor. And God had put him out. He had gotten out of God's favor, but he was still in position. And God had wanted to anoint a new king. He came to the house of Jesse, and Jesse came and brought all of his sons, supposedly seven of his sons, and Samuel was going to anoint the new king. When Jesse brought all the sons down, and one by from oldest to youngest, God didn't approve of any of them in Jesse. And then Samuel asked for Jesse, did you bring all of your sons? Oh yeah, that's my youngest, David, but he's out in the field, you know, tending my sheep. Guys, and Samuel said, bring him. And God said, that's the one. That's the one that I'm searching for. And so when he did, he anointed him to be king over Israel. And you would imagine how David must have felt. You would imagine how Jesse must have felt, like, man, I'm the father of the king. He must have been proud. But when Samuel anointed David to be king, at the time he was working in the sheep, in the field, tending to his father's sheep. And then once that was done, he went back to tending to the sheep. So imagine being anointed by God, by God's servant, to be the next king. You would think that I'm going to be king from now on. From this point on, I'm just going to be the king because I was anointed. But no, he was sent out back into the field to tend to his sheep. A lot of us go through the same problem, the same process. And I call it a process because God is working out process in us, the giftings and the talents and the things that he's birthed inside of us, that he anointed us. But sometimes the gift has to grow inside of us so that we be able to artfully and professionally manage the gift that God has given to us. We don't want to mess it up. We don't want to blow. We don't want to mess up what God has given to us. Sometimes, you know, if you give somebody a car, a teenager, a Bentley or a big expensive car, they'll mess it up because they don't know how to, that's too much power for them. So he understand, he realized that although I anointed you to be king, right now it's too much power for you to handle it in your current state. So he had to go back and test the process and trust the process that God was going to give him through, that God was going to guide him through. So it's one thing to be blessed by God. It's one thing to be anointed by God. It's one thing to be marked by God. But it's another to actually have to go through the process for that mark to take its full effect. And that's a lot of the times we want to be blessed. God, bless me so I can be a blessing to others. Bless me so my cup overflows. Yeah, I do this. Bless me. You make all these promises and God blesses you. And then he doesn't take you out of where your current status is, or take you out of where your current state is. You're still surrounded by mess. You're still surrounded by sheep. You're still surrounded by, and your current, you woke up a shepherd, God blessed you, and you go back to bed being a shepherd. But wait a minute, I thought I was going to be a king. But God doesn't work like that. Sometimes he makes us go through a process in order to develop those things inside of us that God wants us to, so that we can be a blessing to others. Yes. Here's the thing. when God decides to bless us with different gifts and talents and things like that, he wants to prove us in private so that he can approve us in public. He wants to prove us in private by testing us, by working out that gift, by making things, by making sure you're comfortable in your gift and be able to artfully adapt and use the gift that he's given to you, so that when it comes time to use it, he can approve of you in public. A lot of times we like to skip that private process, that private time with God, that private time in prayer, that private time of walking and tripping and messing up. And we want to be approved in public before we get a chance to prove it and prove ourselves in private. And that's where a lot of our mistakes happen. That's what the enemy wants. He wants us to, he hears you being blessed. He hears the promise that God made for you and God promised you. He wants you to mess it up. So he wants you to out there, go ahead, do what you were called to do. You're supposed to be the king. Go ahead, walk like a king. Talk like a king. But you haven't been proven. You haven't learned how to hunt like a king. So, and then think about that. The process that we go through, we said this all the time, either we win or we learn. We never lose. Yes. So those losses that we consider losses, or those things that we consider setbacks and fallbacks, they're just lessons. Mm. And we're learning so we can grow into the king that God has called you to be. Those lessons are just, those setbacks aren't just setbacks. Those setbacks are lessons for you to learn to operate the gift that God has given you. If we look in the book of Philippians, fourth chapter, starting with the 11th verse, it says, Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. Here's the thing, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Yes. So Paul is telling the people, the church in Philippians, this, that he's learned how to be content with whatever God has allowed him to have, or whatever circumstance that he was placed in, whatever situation he found himself in. He learned how to be content. And that's one thing that God wants us to be. He wants us to be content, not just satisfied, but just content and with the blessings that God has had, for content with the day that God has allowed you to have. It might be a good day or a bad day, but allow it, just be content that you have a day, that you're here, that you're here to do what God has called you to, that you're not, you know, your story is not over, your story is not ended, but you're here to do what God's called you to do and make the best out of what God has granted you. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, excuse me. Hot in here. And so when you learn how to be content, you learn how to be satisfied for what God has given you, you're not like you're greedy. It's just like, okay, I'm good. You know, I might have had a bad day, but I'm good because I'm here. I can learn from what happens. I might have had a good day. I'm good because, okay, I'm a step forward. So learn how to be content with whatever God has given you, because the God has granted you to have this day. God has granted you to have the tools and the techniques that you're learning and that you're building, that you're applying in your life so that you could be who God has called you to be. You could be better from him. So be content with everything that God has given you. Because here's the thing. God has a future glory laid out for each and every one of you, for myself, for you. God has a future glory prepared for us in the future that we can't even imagine, that we can't think, that we can't even fathom. God has something so great and glorious if we just trust the God that brings us through the process. That's all we need to do is trust God through the process. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's never going to let you down. Men may let you down. Money might let you down. Jobs might let you down. Your car might break down. But God will never break down on you. He'll never leave you hanging. He will always bring you through to halt to where you got to go to. Amen. And what we need to do is, like I said, be content, but we also need to just hope or wait on the Lord. Wait for the Lord to do God, to do what God's called us to do. If we look in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, it says, in 24th verse, it says, we were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need of hope. We don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something that we don't have yet, we must wait patiently and confidently. So we have to hope or wait on the Lord. So it's like if I have something, I don't need to hope for it. Yes. If I have a wife, I don't need to hope for a wife. Right. Because God has already blessed me with a wife. But if I hope for $1 million, I don't have it right now. So I'm hoping and I'm waiting for it and preparing to receive it. That's another thing you got to do. You got to prepare to receive what God has promised you. Amen? And wait patiently and confidently. Because God is going to give you those things. God, if you wait patiently on him. And another thing I think about when you say wait patiently on God, you're not just sitting back and saying, oh, God, I'm waiting. Like you're waiting on the bus or the subway. I'm waiting like you're waiting on time to keep going. But I think of waiting when you say wait on the Lord as like you're his waiter. God, what can I get you? Here's the menu for today. What can I do for you? How can I serve you? You're his servant. So how can I wait on you today, God? What do you want me to do for you today? How do you want me to love today? How do you want me to share your love for your people today? What do you want me to say to God today? How do you want me to, I serve God. How do I serve you, God? And God tells you, I want you to serve me by serving others. So God, what do you want me to do for this? So you're waiting patiently on God. So you're waiting on God. You're his servants. How can I get, here's your word of God. Here's your towel, your little, you know, or whatever you think God, you see a need, you meet a need. That's how you serve God. That's how you wait on God. You're waiting. It's an active verb. It's an active word. So when you're waiting on God, if you wait on, like, you're going to get that reward. You're going to get that blessing that God has promised you. Because, like, if you're a waiter at a restaurant, if you do good service, you're going to get that good tip, right? If you're a driver for Uber driver or Lyft or the delivery drivers or for all, you know, they break, you know, nowadays, when you order food and when you get your food order, they put the tip already in there. You don't have to pick it. They pick it for you. If you don't check it, you know, you're probably going to tip a lot more than you kind of wanted to. But the thing is, the same thing with God. It's like you wait on God because you're going to get that reward. You're going to get that tip. You're going to get that blessing that God has in store for you. Make sense? Amen? Amen. Amen. And another thing that we have to trust God through the process, because the process happens in private. Because here's the thing. The process is not just the way of God making you wait or making you waste your time, but the process is actually processing you. That's good. God is processing you through the process. And the thing about God, he will never expose us before we have been developed. God will never expose you to the public before you have been properly developed in private. Back in the day, we used to have those little photo mat places where you could take. The kids will not understand what I'm about to say, but film. You take a picture on your camera. And back then we had a camera. We had like 32 exposures or 64 exposures or 12 if you have the small, you know, and you had to really consider the picture you were going to take because you only had so many pictures that would be available on the roll of film that you had inside your camera. So you take your picture and you get your 32 exposure, your 32 shots, And then you take your film to a place, like a photo Mac, to a developer who would develop your film in a dark room. You add some chemicals and develop it. And before you know it, you have a printed out picture of the photo that you took with the camera, right? And the thing about that, it had to be in a dark place for the film, for the photo to be captured, to be developed properly. If it was exposed to light before it was developed, the picture would be damaged. And in the same way, our gifting can be damaged if it's exposed before it's time. A lot of times we get a promise and we want to just be in public and just walk with it right from the beginning. I'm birthed to be a promise. I'm birthed to be a king. So I'm going to walk like a king, but you haven't been developed yet. You don't know what it takes to be king. You don't know what it takes to have a character. You don't know what it takes to make those decisions and to be able to make a decision and live with it. Even though people's lives depend on it, you can't just walk right into your blessing sometimes. You got to be developed through that process. Trust God through that process because he's preparing you through that time. Amen? The thing about that, as you trust in God through the process and it seems like you're hidden and you're not being seen and you're not being, you know, you don't get your chance or you don't get your time. You're not going to lose your shot, you know, but God is like you're in obscure place. You're in a dark place. You're in a lonely place. But sometimes that obscurity produces integrity because you start to learn to walk with integrity in private, so that when you become in public, your integrity is grown more with that because I trust God through my private time. And it's like, you know what? The fame or the fortune or the blessing that I have now, you weren't with me when God promised it to me. So you didn't promise it to me. So you didn't give this fame to me. You didn't give this money to me. You didn't give this blessing to me. This was got by God. So I owe you nothing. So man can give you praise and make you feel good, but it's the God that bestows his promises and his blessing on us so that we're beholden to God and not to man. So we have to prove ourselves to God and not to man. We have to please God and not man. So our integrity is intact because I'm pleasing God. I'm not going to try to do something to make you happy. I'm not going to try to make a decision to make you happy. You know, one hand washes one back and one hand watches the other. And we're watching each other back and we're making, you know, those side deals and back corner deals to make something happen. But God is like, look, I want you to prove your time with me. Spend time with me and watch I work it out for you. Right. That way you have to answer to nobody but God. And when you do, when you get that reverential fear of God, it's like, I will walk in integrity. My integrity will be intact. Nobody have any bad pictures or any bad tapes or bad tweets of you because you walk with integrity. Because that obscurity sometimes produces integrity. Amen? I said this, Isaiah 40, chapter 31st verse is, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. All you got to do is wait on the Lord. Let's do what God's called you to do, to see what God wants and serve him. That's an active word, not just sitting down waiting, but that's an actual active serving him. And what's going to do? You're going to build up. Your strength is going to be renewed. So you might think you're going to be weak or tired, but God's going to give you strength and activity and use and activity of your limbs that just came out of nowhere. You're going to build up your strength and your stamina. You're going to mount up with wings as eagles, which means that your wings will be, you'll be able to fly above the clouds. You'll be able to fly above the storms. So before you know it, storms are going to come in your life. Storms will come in your life. I'm going to promise you that. You get a promise from God. Storms will come to try to attack you. But if you wait on the Lord, you can get some wings and you can fly above your storms. And you can look down over your storm as it's raining down on everybody else. but it's not raining down on you. So what you're doing, your happens is you are flying above your clouds, above the storms, but beneath the sun. And you're getting warmth through the sun. You're getting sunlight through the sun. You're getting energy through the sun because your wings have been strengthened because you waited on God. And as you're flying, as you're soaring, looking up to the sun, and you happen to glance down over the storm that was covering, that used to get you wet. Now it's not bothering you anymore. Now you're warm and dry and you're flying and you're just coasting and do what God has called you to do. And then you shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Even when you find yourself losing strength, find somebody to pray with. Find somebody to pray for you. Find somebody to walk with you. Here's the thing. I just heard this. If you want to run fast, like in a race, run alone. But if you want to run to win, you run together. If you run fast, you fast ahead of a crowd. But if you want to run to win or to get to where that God's called you to be, you run together because we each grow stronger together. Like each person, like we talked about last week, each person is given different amount of gifts for the edifying of the body so we can be stronger together. We all need each other. Find you a partner. Find you a prayer partner. Find somebody that can encourage you when you're feeling low. Find somebody that can lift you up and take you up above your clouds. You're not in this alone. You are not in this alone. You are not meant to be alone. Amen? And like I said, the storms are going to come. The troubles are going to come. The enemy hears you. Here's the promise that that God has made to you. And he wants you to be distracted by that. He wants you not to fulfill the promises that God has called you to do. So he's going to send tests and he's going to send trials. He's going to send storms. But get to the point where you can rejoice when those tests and those trials come. And they'll just confound the mind of the enemy. If you look in the book of James, first chapter, the second verse, it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." I read that again. So when troubles of any kind come your way, because they're going to come, consider it an opportunity for great joy. So you get tested, you get trialed, and you get things start to happen your way, and you just don't go, "Oh, woe is me." You know what? This is an opportunity for God to do some good in my life. I got this bill. I got this coming up. This is an opportunity for God to show up and show out. Don't take it as a test. Don't take it as something negative. Just look for the positive in it. And because why? Because your faith is being tested. That's what's happening. Your faith in the promise that God has made for you, your faith in the God that made that promise is being tested. And he's going to, and your endurance has a chance to grow. Here's the thing. A faith that can't be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. If your faith has not been tested, you don't know what kind of faith it is. You don't know what you can believe in. Because if God hadn't brought me through being sick, I wouldn't know that he's a healer. Right. If God hadn't brought me through being broke, I wouldn't know he was a way maker. Right. If God didn't bring me through being lonely, I would have known to be somebody that can be a companion. It could be a helpmate and to send a helpmate. So a faith that can't be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. You sit down on a chair because you don't even test the chair. You just sit down, you see a chair and you sit on it. Because you believe, you have faith that the chair is going to hold you. So you want that same faith and that same promise that when God puts his weight on you, he can trust you to handle it. Because he's tested your faith and your faith has made it through. Amen. Amen. So Here's the thing, and I'm closing out now. God has made you a promise. You have been marked by God. You have been promised. You have been given a promise. You have been given a blessing that you are going to walk into. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed to be a blessing. But you need to go through the process. Sometimes it doesn't happen overnight, and that's okay. Sometimes you're going to have dark times, and that's okay. Sometimes you're going to have setbacks, and that's okay. Sometimes you're going to have, so it seems like you're walking alone, and that's okay. Sometimes you feel like you might be broken or broken into pieces and shattered all over the ground. That's okay. You know why? Because God can put your pieces back together. And when he does, you're even better than when you were, stronger than you were before. And he makes you, and he puts you up on a pedestal. He'll expose you when it's time. But right now, you got to go through the development process because it's for your good. Because all things work together for the good. Those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So trust the God that is bringing you through the process. Trust the God that made the promise to you. He'll never lie. He can't lie. When God says something, it has to happen. When God said, let there be, it was. So if God said, let there be in your life, it's going to happen. Bank on it. Believe it. Have faith in it. And test that faith. Because your faith is being tested so it can be trusted. Because God wants to put his weight on you. He wants to put his glory on you. And you'll be able to handle it. Amen. Jesus came down and as our way. He is the way back to God. He is a way that brings us back into oneness with God. When we were broken because of sin, when we were denied access because of sin, because we've born into sin, we've been shaped in iniquity. But God sent Jesus down on the cross to die for our sins, to live for us, to die for us, to teach us and show us the way, because he is the way. John 3:16-17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And we come to the ABC to salvation, like the call. A, acknowledge or admit that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. B, believe. Believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And C, confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Acknowledge, believe, confess the ABCs of salvation. Let's pray this prayer together. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. Listen, I want to get in contact with you. I want to communicate with you. I want to get in touch with you. I need you to text the word all in, ALLIN, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word all in, ALLIN, to 609-831-3377. Thank you so much for joining with us. I love you all. God bless you. Have a great day.